Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. It's 2008 and Lehman Brothers, one of the world's biggest investment banks, is riding high on the hog. With assets in the trillions, it has pioneered innovative financial products like marketing subprime loans to people who can't otherwise afford a mortgage. And its top executives are pocketing huge amounts of cash. That is, until it all came tumbling down, plunging the world into an economic crisis. Everyone seemed surprised. Everyone except the insiders at Lehman Brothers, who saw it coming a mile away. Inside Lehman Brothers is a new documentary about the criminal activities of the financial sector that helped bring about the Wall Street crash of 2008. It's told through the eyes of the insiders, ordinary accountants, saleswomen, auditors, and underwriters whose warnings were ignored both by the company and by government regulators. This is co-written and directed by noted Paris-based filmmaker and journalist Jennifer Deschamps, who has created films on topics ranging from Scientology to the subprime economic crisis. Inside Lehman Brothers is playing on the documentary channel on Sunday, August 25th, and I'm very pleased to have Jennifer Deschamps via telephone from the south of France to tell us more about what happens inside Lehman Brothers. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Thanks so much for talking with me. I know you're on holiday right now in the south of France.
I'm pleased to speak with you.
And you're on the beach?
Not far, yeah. I can see the beach and I can view the golden island on the Côte d'Azur.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
But getting back to the nitty-gritty, Lehman Brothers was an old American firm that dates back to the 19th century, which helped to launch many important U.S. corporations like RCA. But later, in the 2000s and earlier, it became known for its brash, aggressive style. Can you describe what sort of company was Lehman Brothers?
From what all the people interviewed said, and from the background and the researches I made, Lehman was a bit different from the others because they were called the cowboys of Wall Street, meaning that they didn't really follow the rules. They really like to be in the gray areas where when it's not forbidden, you can do it, even if it's immoral.
Mm-hmm. And when you say they worked in the gray zone, were they actually doing things that are illegal?
That's a real point. Anton Valucat, who's the former chief, was an attorney, was a former Chicago attorney. I'm sorry, I don't know if it's the right expression. He was Anton Valucat was appointed by the court to be the examiner on the bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. And for him, everything that was done in the gray areas was illegal. But the government and the regulators decided not to pursue.
So this is the FEC? Now, what is it called?
Exactly. You've got the SEC, you've got the Federal Reserve, You've got even, for example, the FBI made investigation, and the investigation made by the FBI were done until last year, and Donald Trump and his government decided to shut down the investigation, for example. So nobody's going to be judged.
So what caused the crash?
A lot of things. In fact, greed, the first thing.
Greed,
exactly. Greed, mm-hmm. Is that the right word?
Yes. Yeah,
greed. The first thing is greed. And then greed was was the way the company was led, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you had many ways to many illegal ways to do some money. So, for example, you could falsify the loan file for the people in order to get more and more and more files and more money for the accountants. But you also had other ways to do lots of money at Wall Street, because like the Repo 105 in the film, you've got Matthew Lee, who was a former vice president of Lehman Brothers, in charge of the finance, and he was the one who tried to warn everyone about what was Lehman doing with the Repo 105, and the Repo 105 was a method to I don't know what the word would be, was a method to make some money when you don't have any money, in fact.
Right.
And so they were lying to everybody, to the investors and to the government and to the regulators.
So the repo measure was a way that they would, in their books, it would look as if the money is there when actually it wasn't there at all. And they would loan money to themselves.
Yeah.
To cover
exactly,
it up.
And it was done just a few days before the books were going to be public, and then once it was public, then they published internally the right accounts. But during this time, you had investors who were thinking that everything was fine, so they put even more money on Lehman Brothers. Despite the fact that the accounts were not true.
So one, your film concentrates most of all about three women in a subsidiary who discovered some of the problems in the firm. Could you talk about these three women?
Yeah. These three women, in fact, there was a group of six women.
Oh, okay. But you narrowed it down to three of them.
Exactly, because the first thing is that the three others were very scared and were not able to speak and to be. They didn't want it to be on screen.
They spoke off the record.
Yeah. I spoke with them. I exchanged with them, and I even started to shoot with one of them. But it was too hard for them because you've seen the doc, and you can see that they are still like they've got like a post traumatic syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
They are still like PTSD.
Oh.
Because these women, when they wanted to warn their superiors, they've been harassed. They've been morally and sexually harassed. So, and they're still living with all the consequences of the choices they made at this period about the fact that they wanted to warn everyone.
It's interesting in the film, it's actually quite shocking when some of these women tell their stories. They talk about just a normal problem they found in the records, and they brought it to light inside the company. And soon after, these very scary things started happening to them. Like there was a manager sent in, seemingly
yeah.
He was there specifically to make them uncomfortable and scared by sexually harassing them and breaking into their home and things like that. It's really spooky.
Yeah. The thing is that sometimes when you're listening, you've got the feeling it might be too big to be true. But that was true. I made a lot of researches about it, and I investigate in all the files because they've been to court with the cases of harassment and others. And Lehman wanted to give them some money, you know, to close the file.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that they didn't give a lot of money. So they're still in discussions with the, with Lehman Brothers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I always say that reality is bigger than fiction.
Mm-hmm. The head of Lehman Brothers at the time was Fuld.
Dick Fuld, yeah.
And how much he got a lot of money out of it, even though hundreds of millions of dollars. Did he have to give any back?
Nothing.
What happened?
Nothing. So when the thing is that he lost. He was the one to tell that he was the one to lost the most of the money when the crisis, the financial crisis, arrived, because he had a lot of money invested. You know, in
right.
Lehman Brothers, in actions, yeah.
Right.
But the fact is that he had a lot of properties, and he had a lot of assets. So he's still a millionaire, a very big rich man.
So people are still wondering, Lehman Brothers crashed, but why did that lead to all the other investment banks crashing as well? Why?
Yeah. Nobody really knows. The thing is that the theory is that the government decided to make an example, because before Lehman Brothers, they saved other investment banks or investment companies or loan companies.
So they were called too big to fail.
Exactly, yeah. And when the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy was on the run, I would say. They've been speaking like 3 or 4 days before the final crash with the Federal Reserve, the government. Everybody was working on it, and nobody believed that the government would say, let's go to the bankruptcy. But at the end, they decided this, and the theory is that they wanted to make an example, to tell the other banks, you've got to rectify the way you're working, because we are not going to save everybody.
And
the fact was that Lehman was called like, Lehman Brothers were called like the cowboys of Wall Street. So there was the bad guys of Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. But none of them went to jail.
None of them. Absolutely none.
And did they keep, many of them kept huge amounts of money?
Yeah, sure. And they are now working for Goldman Sachs, for Deutsche Bank, for all the others.
And
they're still working in the market.
And I also just very briefly, finally, I want to talk about subprime mortgages. A lot of the money came from ventures like that. What happened to the actual people who got what is a subprime loan, and what happened to the people who had those loans, the customers?
They lost their house.
So they were homeless.
Yeah.
They lost their, so the government, go on.
Lots of people became homeless or lost their home, and then, I don't know how to say. For example, one of the ladies, Cheryl, one of testifying the, she's been. I always say that she's like one of the first victims of the subprime crisis, and she lost her house.
Yeah, she was homeless.
She lost her car. Her car was repossessed. She lost her home. Another lady whom I started to shoot, and it was too difficult for her. She lost her home, and she spent 2 years sleeping in a car with her daughter.
And yet the TARP plan, the TARP plan of the government, gave money to rescue, to bail out the investment banks, but not the people who lost all their money from it.
Yeah. This is how America is working, you know?
Yeah, it's frightening. But thanks so much. Thanks so much for explaining this.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Paris-based documentary filmmaker and journalist Jennifer Deschamps about Inside Lehman Brothers, playing this Sunday night, August 25th, on the Documentary Channel. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.